Let's bring in Tom Noy, Fighting Irish basketball insider for the South Bend Tribune, lead columnist. He was on the program hosting the 6 o'clock hour on Thursday, and we went through a lot of the warts and a lot of the things we were concerned about on the Notre Dame resume. Again, we weren't trying to be Debbie Downers. We were just trying to lay out all last week, if they don't make it, these might be the reasons why. And unfortunately, a couple of things kind of popped up. But Tom, let me just start with this. Knowing that there are several teams you could bring into a conversation, maybe they shouldn't be in, Oklahoma, Arizona State, Syracuse. I think Syracuse maybe has a brighter light shining on them because Notre Dame's in the same conference record, beat them head-to-head on the road without their two stars. So at the end of the day, do you feel like, all things considered, Notre Dame got a fair shake yesterday?
175% correct. How about that?
So you're okay with the way the committee handled things?
Absolutely, because, and we've said this, and I still remember being on the show with you and Eric, what, it was like 3 weeks ago, saying, at the end of the day, it's going to turn out that Notre Dame is not going to be able to do enough from a metric standpoint, from a one-loss standpoint. We don't even have to get into Ball State and Indiana, and you have to throw Georgia Tech in there, because those are three teams with an RPI of 120 or worse that Notre Dame lost to. Two of those losses came with Bonzi Colson in the lineup. So don't even get to that. Notre Dame had so many chances, and I understand what Mike Bray says when he says, good news, bad news. The bad news is you play in the ACC and you're going to have to run a gauntlet. But the good news is you got a lot of chances to build your resume for an NCAA tournament. You don't have to get all of them. You only have to get some of them. This was the year that Notre Dame did not get any of them. None of them. You didn't have to win all the power games against the ACC teams in league play, but you better beat North Carolina, Louisville, Virginia Tech, Miami. All four of those at home in your building, you got to get at least one. If you had beaten one of those, if the shot falls for T.J. Gibbs against Carolina, if they don't go into overtime against Louisville, if they show up and actually throw some effort against Virginia Tech, and then if Rex Pfluger doesn't get hurt and doesn't play and plays against Miami, one of those games, just one, and Notre Dame's in the NCAA tournament.
So outside of Wichita State, not enough wow victories, or even semi-wow victories.
There were no wild victories. They were 1-7 against ranked teams, so they beat Wichita State to start the season with a ranked win in late November, and then they didn't beat a ranked team the rest of the way. That's hard. It's hard to say they were a top 68 team without one of those wins, without something else to offset Ball State, Indiana, Georgia Tech. Those would have been manageable had you beaten any combination of North Carolina, Louisville, Virginia Tech, or Miami at home. Then the committee would have said, you know what, we can see the ball. You give them a mulligan on Ball State because they went out and they played a tougher road schedule. They went to DePaul. They went to Delaware. They had to go to Michigan State. So they made the effort to play a tougher schedule. They got hit by Ball State, but hey, look, they got it back by beating this team or that team in ACC play. They went on the road and upset whoever, Duke, maybe if they would have beaten North Carolina in Chapel Hill. You had to have something to hold on to and say they're better than Syracuse because of this. And the resume just didn't have it.
I was kind of thinking about this earlier today, Tom. I mean, when you think back to Maui, LSU beats Michigan, and then Notre Dame ends up playing LSU with such a small margin of error. How much difference might it have made if Michigan beats LSU and they play Michigan instead?
And they get that Michigan win.
You have two
good non-conference resume wins. That's what Mike Bray talks about. And us media guys, you know, us cynical media guys, when Mike Bray talks about how fragile everything is and how if they can just get to 9-9, we kind of roll our eyes and say, that's just coach speak. He doesn't know what he's talking about. It was so fragile. This season was so fragile, guys, that at 3:15 on Selection Sunday, Notre Dame was in the NCAA tournament. After everything that had happened to this basketball team, you lose Colson, you lose Farrell, you lose Pfluger, you lose Harvey, you lose all these close games, you lose DePaul State. After everything that happened, they were on the board at 315. And by 330, when the A-10 championship game was over, they were off the board. It's that's how thin that margin of error is.
Didn't the committee basically just say, though, Tom, because you've got two teams in the same conference, you've got a head-to-head win, they ended up with the same record in the conference. Syracuse had more bad losses in the conference. I mean, we talk about Notre Dame not having the wins, but aren't they basically just saying that head-to-head really doesn't matter that much? It's all about all this data that we stack in front of ourselves down at the end of the season.
Well, we don't know how much it doesn't matter because we're not in the war room where the selection committee is making. Maybe head-to-head matters, and they say, all right, what did Syracuse and Notre Dame do head-to-head? Ooh, check mark Notre Dame. They won at the Carrier Dome without their two best players. Then you say, what did Syracuse do with the rest of their metric numbers? What's Syracuse RPI? What's their non-conference strength of schedule? What's their regular strength of schedule? You know, what have they done with the quadrant one wins? Syracuse had four of them. Notre Dame only had two of them. So Notre Dame may have gotten that check mark. They may have well gotten that check mark for beating Syracuse in the Carrier Dome. But then when you factor in all the other data points, all those other check marks went in Syracuse's column.
Yeah, so maybe that gets them close, but everything else goes Syracuse's way.
Talking Irish hoops. Go ahead.
And the thing is it's not the fact that Syracuse basically stole that bid. It's the fact that Notre Dame was on the board and they were in. I mean, it's just it hurts a little bit more, I think, for Notre Dame because they beat Syracuse. But the fact that we even got to Selection Sunday and Notre Dame was there and they were in and they were going to the NCAA tournament, and then to have it just taken away like that, that's what's really going to hurt, and really it's going to be tough for these guys moving forward.
Tom Noy from the South Bend Tribune, our guest, talking Fighting Irish basketball. I believe the first year Notre Dame went to the Elite Eight, they were a number two seed in a region, and their non-conference strength of schedule was in the 300s. And we've, I think, had that a couple of times the last few years. Tom, this year it was 178. They played some better competition in the non-conference. They went on the road and played some competition. Now, I know one newspaper pointed out Notre Dame played three bottom 100 RPI teams. Syracuse played none. Who knows how much that factors in, but it does affect that non-conference strength of schedule, Notre Dame at 178. We all know that injuries are the real reason why they did not make the tournament. Besides all the Ball State, Indiana, Georgia Tech, if they would have been healthy, they would have been in the tournament. I think we can fairly say that. With that being said, is there anything Notre Dame can learn from this process to put themselves in a better position to improve seeding or whatever the case may be next year? Or did they do everything right, just the injuries cost them?
They did everything right because you talk about the non-conference schedule. Go back to 2014-15. That non-conference schedule had to stink. It had to stink for Notre Dame to have any chance because what happened? They were coming off a 15-17 season. They took their beatings at 6-12 in the ACC. That was a fragile, we'll go back to that word, that was a fragile program at that point. Mike Bray couldn't afford to go out and schedule a heavy non-conference. He had to get this team a lot of wins against a lot of bad teams. Mm-hmm. The non-conference schedule this year was okay, maybe a little subpar, but again, there's a major reason behind that. Notre Dame, given everything they had coming back, given the fact that Bonzi Colson was the Atlantic Coast Conference preseason player of the year, they were handed the A-plus league schedule. So Mike Bray said, I can't afford to crush us in our non-league schedule because of all the power that we've got coming in the league.
I like their non-conference schedule, Tom.
Yeah, it was
good enough.
It was okay.
It was okay.
DePaul wasn't as good as you maybe hoped they would have been. Delaware's RPI was like 229. You kind of hoped that maybe that would draw them up just a little bit. But after Delaware, after DePaul, after
LSU,
Michigan State, LSU. You still had a lot of the bottom feeders rolling through Purcell Pavilion with Chicago State and St. Francis, Brooklyn. But again, there was a reason for that because Mike Bray said, we're going to have enough power games in our league to be able to get to the NCAA tournament. The problem was they weren't able to win any of those power games to really stay in the conversation like they have been every other year. Like we've gotten to in 14-15, the following year, and even last year, you've gotten to early to mid-January, and there was no question come Selection Sunday that Notre Dame was getting in. This just happened to be the year where everything that could have gone wrong with this basketball team, be it injuries, ineffectiveness, rotation guys not stepping up, it happened.
Tom, we talk about the analytics, and one that really favored Notre Dame was BPI. They had like a 34, I think. And I mean, not just with Notre Dame, but across the board, it doesn't seem like that factored in as much as maybe we thought. Wasn't it supposed to kind of be a bigger factor in selection this year?
Maybe. I mean, you never know what's going on inside that room. Like, well, there may be one guy that's a real BPI type of guy, and then another guy that says, well, I'm hanging my hat on what the quadrant one and quadrant two victories are. So it's really subjective as far as what, and even what year. Like, I remember way back when this whole Selection Sunday and the proverbial bubble started, it was a factor of, well, how does a team do in its last 10 games? Now that's really not that much of a factor. So it's just something where it comes, the Sagarin ratings, that was big, now maybe not so big. So it's just what's hot, what's sexy every time the March Madness selection process rolls around.
Tom, that's what's frustrating. It used to be how you finished the year was a big factor. Now it does not seem to be a factor at all. Just leave the target. Don't move the target so we understand what the committee is looking for. All right, here's my final question for you. I'm going to play a soundbite, then I'll ask my question. This was Mike Bray responding to one of your questions last night about getting the players ready for the NIT and maybe getting himself ready for the NIT. So here's the answer to Tom's question from Fighting Irish head coach Mike Bray.
Ask them. It's on them.
How do you do it? How do you get them to say?
No, I'm not. You know what? It ain't me getting them. It's them getting them now. It's our senior class.
So you're not certain that they're going to buy in?
You need to ask them when they come out. Find out and then call me tonight and tell me how they feel. You know? We're going to have fun with the NIT. You know the character of these guys. I'm sure by tomorrow at noon or by tomorrow at 2 when we practice, they'll be ready to roll. But, you know, they lifted a little bit after the selection show. And they were in a little bit of a funk, to say the least. But, I told them, I said, it's spring break. I don't have anything better to do. You guys have anything better to do? Let's play. Let's see if we can get back to New York. And
they might be able to come up with a couple things.
Yeah. Florida.
About what time?
I was thinking about Miami, too.
Well, Tom, I guess, do you like Mike's thinking that it is on the players? And what do you expect from the team tomorrow?
I love it. I like it. It's classic Mike Bray. And it's really, if you really think about it, it's a brilliant way to think as a college basketball coach, because he's always one to say, let me help you. How can I help my guys? How can I help my guys navigate the ACC? How can I help my guys navigate the regular season? How can I help my guys get to the NCAA tournament? When you get to postseason, when you get to the NIT, it's not about the coach anymore. The coach can't motivate his team to play in the NIT, especially a team that's been there like Notre Dame, a team that's won 7 NCAA tournament games the last 3 years. There's nothing Mike Bray can say or do or cajole or suggest that's going to get this team ready to play. It falls all on the senior class. Like, the players have to say, you know what, guys, this sucks, but we got to still go out there and try to get to New York City. And quite honestly, I think listening to Martin Gebben and listening to Matt Farrell yesterday, I think that they had to do a heck of a lot of convincing of one another and of themselves that they really want to be in this tournament.
Yeah. Understandable.
Absolutely. Is it enough for you, Tom? We're going to see some of these rules changes in the NIT now, the experimental rules changes. You're pumped about 4 quarters, aren't you?
As long as we have these rule changes, are they going to play like circus music in the building tomorrow? Because it's basically going to turn into a clown show. I've got a running joke with Alan Wasilewski, the Notre Dame SID. No, we're not playing match games. It's not that. We need circus music. Dun, 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 like, we've got a running joke as to when whoever scores the first basket tomorrow, Notre Dame Sports Information Director Alan Wasilewski is going to send out a tweet that says Bonzi Colson or Rex Pfluger now has the school record for points in a quarter. Now, do we have it?
Not yet. I'm working on it.
Efforting.
I just think it's goofy. The whole thing's goofy. There you go.
Anything else you need?
Yeah. Turn it off because I can't hear a word.
All right.
There you go.
Efforting. Done.
Okay. And then now after all that, after everything that happened last night, I got to tell you a quick story.
Okay.
I get home. It's like 9:45, 10 o'clock. Mike Bray contacts me. Says, can you change something in your story?
Uh-oh.
And I said, well, you know, the paper's already gone to press, but I can change something online. What do you want me to change? I said, what do you want me to change?
I know what
that
this is.
That the South Bend Tribune's beat writer is an idiot. You know, you want to put that in there? So he's like, no. He said, I want this in there. I want to make this point perfectly clear. After Ernie Johnson's dramatic announcement on us.
That's right.
Next time I see him, I'm punching him in the face.
And was he serious?
And so I said, are you serious or are you joking? Because you know Mike Bray, he can be dead serious about something but still joke about it. And he said, I'm both. I'm joking and I'm serious. And I said, so that's what you want me to say? And he goes, let it rip, baby.
So, ride the hot player. Have you ever been ridden?
So it'll be interesting if Notre Dame does not get all the way through the NIT Final Four in New York and they're eliminated, if CBS/TBS calls up Mike Bray and asks him to do some studio work somewhere along the line of the NCAA tournament, because if he's in the same room as Ernie Johnson, Mike Bray has promised, quote, I'm punching him in the face for what Ernie Johnson did with the announcement saying,
wow,
we're going out in alphabetical order, and this is the what place Notre Dame's name should be. Where are we going to see it? No, Ohio State. So it was that was kind of a dig that Mike Bray didn't really appreciate.
Well, there's a heavyweight with a lot of experience punching in Charles Barkley in studio, so why not?
Just don't get Charles mad at you.
Oh, boy.
That'd be terrible.
Tom, what should we expect tomorrow on the cool. South Bend Tribune, IndyInsider.com?
I have no idea. Okay. Maybe NIT stuff. I mean, I'm writing about the NIT. The NIT is a late game tomorrow night, so if you're picking up your paper on Wednesday, expecting to see a game story, we will not have it. It will be online. I'll have some sort of a notebook on Wednesday morning. But a column, what I talked about earlier, in talking with the players, I think they're trying to convince themselves.
Yeah.
That the NIT is the right way to go. I don't know if they're going to convince themselves. And even Martin Gevin said nobody in the locker room wants to go to the NIT. That's not our goal. So it's really hard to recalibrate after 6 months of saying, let's try to get to the NCAA tournament, let's get to an Elite Eight, maybe get to a Final Four. It's really hard to say, let's go play an NIT home game in front of select dozens at Purcell Pavilion.
And that's what I expect from the players. They should have that standard.
Right.
I love that.
There's nothing wrong with that. No. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, even like you said, Zach Hilsland, people are trying to tell Zach Hilsland why Notre Dame should go to the NIT, and Zach's the first guy to say, the NIT is just awful. Like, none of the players want to remember what they did in the NIT. Jordan Cornette, when they gave him an NIT watch, 1 year, that's the gift that they get, the players get for being in the NIT. Jordan took his watch, threw it right in the garbage.
Yeah.
That's how they feel about the NIT.
Well, and I get that, but it's not going to be any easier for Oregon either. I mean, they were in the freaking Final Four last year, and here they are in the NIT.
Not easy. It's not easy for anybody that has a winning program. Not
right.
A team that hasn't been there. You know, you go back to Notre Dame's first NIT run with only NIT run with Matt Doherty. It was kind of cool that they got all the way through got back to New York City to play in the NIT final game against Wake Forest because they hadn't been to postseason. But when you've been to postseason and you've got to go play an NIT game,
amen,
man, that's a tough racket.
Tom, you're the man. Greatly appreciate the time this evening. We'll be reading the South Bend Tribune and IndyInsider.com for an update on Ernie and Mike.